Hi, guys. So Dr. Dex here. Welcome to our podcast. We are back on site. We had a couple weeks where I was a little ill, so we were staying in Studio Man's studio. But I'm really excited today. I have one of the best framers in the world named Joe Canning, but you might know him by his handle, Canadian Carpenter. Joe, welcome to our podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Dude, that beard is incredible. You have made an icon out of that thing. Let's go into that. How long did it take you to grow that?
Probably 2 years, I think.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Many years ago, though.
That's incredible. Now, what kind of maintenance entails in keeping a mane that nice?
Nothing really. Just make sure you do what you're supposed to do every morning.
Which is what? You comb it out or you put some oil in it or what?
Yeah, just lightly wash it, oil, beard butter, beard balm, and comb it out and get on with your day.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and I mean, what I love, and you've designed a lot of your logos, right?
Yeah.
You kind of have this art side of you that I don't know if a lot of people realize, but you're really good at hand drawings and drafting and things like that. Some of the stuff I've seen you put out, I was like, wow, that is amazing. It looks like a professional logo company made that for you, you know?
That's probably because my previous career was in arts.
Yeah?
I have a degree in animation multimedia arts. And
oh, wow.
I used to draw cartoons and things. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
How cool is that? All right. So let's go back. I mean, you're currently reside where?
In Ontario.
Ontario,
Canada.
Okay. That's what I was going to say, but I've been getting a few of these locations wrong. So I wanted to let you fill in the blank. And are you a native, born, raised there or?
No.
No. So where were you born?
Here and then moved to the States, and then I moved back here 30 years ago.
Okay, so you moved to the States. How old were you when that happened?
Oh, I was a little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think we moved like three. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long were you guys in the United States for?
19 years.
Oh, okay. So you went to like elementary school,
yeah,
junior high and high school in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. So, tell me about that. Like what state were you in?
New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So you weren't too far from the border then, right?
No. Well, we did, we went from New Brunswick to Rhode Island and then down to New Jersey, and then I moved back up.
So you're in New Jersey. You get through, you know, you're in grade school, middle school, whatever, junior high.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you?
hell on earth.
Yeah.
I wasn't from the nice part.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you got a little rough around the edges. What about high school? How'd that go for you?
It sucked. I got kicked out.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Were you rebellious or just wasn't down with the action or what?
I just didn't do school very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude, I totally get it.
Years later, I found out that I had, I was diagnosed with severe ADHD. So I didn't know that the whole entire time I was in school. I just thought I really sucked at it. And then I had figured it out, you know, and plus we had a bunch of other obstacles in the way. Like I was not a good kid. You know, I was in gangs and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was a menace to society, put it that way.
Can we put a cap on that and talk about that in our second episode or our secondary episode a little bit, if you're willing? I mean, if you're not, that's cool too. I don't want to force you.
I don't care. It's fine by me.
Need to mark. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, cool. So we'll save that for a Patreon episode. I think that's kind of an interesting bonus feature because I have questions.
Okay.
And if you're willing to share them, but here's the thing. If you're uncomfortable with that or you don't want to, that's cool. But just so you know, we have one subscriber so far, so only one person is going to hear what your past is. So it's not like it's getting out to millions of people or anything like that.
It's okay,
right? Okay, cool. All right. So high school. So you get booted. What was that like? A principal came up to you and said, "Hey, man, we're not with it." Or did you get a letter or?
Oh,
would you get in a fight or something or what?
Straight kicked me out of the office.
Wow, you are worse than me, man. But I respect it. I love the grind. I love the hustle. Okay, all right. So if you got kicked out of high school early, how old were you when you were kicked out of?
I was 15.
Wow, dude. Yeah man. So, that's crazy.
So I got kicked out of high school. I got kicked out of my parents' house at the same time.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, so I was emancipated, which means you basically go to in front of the judge and they classify and legally sign you up as you are an adult to take care of yourself at 15.
Wow.
So
how did that feel? So,
I wasn't the best kid, so to me, I thought it was the best thing in the world.
Oh, you thought you were a gangster?
Yeah. So, try being a gangster when you're 15, have three jobs, and still going to school.
Man, that was struggling, dude.
Yeah. Well, I had to apply for a different high school, and I got in. It was for people like me.
Okay.
People couldn't take a regular classroom, had to be monitored because it was basically like a juvie kind of high school. So,
all right.
I got accepted there, but
so
it was
you're like 16 years old maybe and you get into this school?
Yeah, I was about to turn 16. Yeah.
Okay. And how long were you in there for?
And I finished high school in there.
You graduated?
Yeah.
Got a GED or whatever equivalent?
No, I got my diploma.
Diploma. Sweet. Yeah. Okay, then, how old are you now when you graduate high school and you have your diploma?
I was 18.
18 years old. That's about right. Okay. So then what happens with Joe? Like you go, this is really interesting.
Joe decided he wanted to go to art school because that's what everybody expected me to do.
Because you were good at it anyways or what?
Yeah. I had been drawing since I was like three. So,
wow.
So I did that. I had three jobs, to put myself through school.
Three jobs. What were those three jobs?
Get well. One I can't talk about.
Okay.
I did a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Cool. But, the legal ones were like, just simple gas station attendants or worked at a bowling alley and things like that.
Just minimum wage stuff that got you by.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. And then one side hustle that probably made more than both combined, but hey, you gotta admire the side hustle. I always do. Yep. All right. So you go to art school, you said?
Yeah, I went to art school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long was that?
2 years.
2 years of art school. Did you get a certificate or a degree or something from that?
Got a bachelor's degree in animation multimedia arts.
Bachelor's degree in animation multimedia art. And so was that a digital art form as well, or is it straight like?
It was right at the transition from traditional to computer. So I did a lot of traditional animation, and I also did things like working on like NFL films and things like that, where you're watching football games and the whole thing would slide across the bottom, their heads would spin, tell all the stats. Yeah, I did some of those as well.
Okay, so you're like doing TV animation as far, not like cartoons, but like just showing how like when we watch a news forecast or the weather or something like that, and then all this cool stuff pops up on the screen, you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and then for traditional side, I also worked on Beavis and Butthead Do America.
You worked on Beavis and Butthead Do America?
Yeah.
Dude, that's legendary. So do you have an IDBM account?
No, not anymore.
You should.
Yeah.
Does that ever go away? Galvin's got one. Studio Man has one, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea. Never followed up. I switched careers, so it was like.
Well, I think that's, but see, now you're getting, here's the funny thing. You switch careers, but I know if you're like me and we're talking about side hustles, this whole social media thing has become quite a side hustle in its own self. And any leg that you have to get up on the competition, man, an IBDM, or is it IMDB? IMDB.
IMDb, yeah.
IMDB. You should check in on that.
Yeah,
Okay.
it doesn't matter to me anymore. It's
Roger that.
a life long gone.
It's a lifetime ago, but
Yeah.
you kept the skills of that chapter in your life.
I don't even know.
Dude,
I
what
haven't
do you mean
drawn
you don't
any.
even know? I saw what you drew. You drew a logo that
I
was,
haven't drawn anything since the logo,
well,
so.
man, I think you're a talented artist, man. That's impressive. I love your logo. I think it's killer.
I
Calvin, I'll have to
appreciate
put it up. You have to put it up. Mark the screen. Usually Calvin can hear we're talking. He can hear me talking. Anybody can. I'm so loud, but he can't
it.
hear you, unfortunately. So if I have to tell him to put a mark in the video so he knows where to edit or put something
Okay.
in, I want him to drop your logo into the screen so that people can see it. Because I think it's so cool.
I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. Okay, so you got your arts degree. You're 20 years old.
Yeah.
And what do you do? And then you start working. You start doing these animations. You start doing some of this other digital stuff. And
Yeah.
how does what goes on from there?
Not much. Just I met my wife. We are the original online dating. Yeah, like
Okay.
I met my wife on, in a chat room on AOL.
Oh, yeah, that's a while back.
Yeah,
AOL, man. Okay, that's cool. Now, were
after
you
that,
still in the
it's
United States at that point?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I didn't know where she lived, and we started talking and everything like that, and then yeah, and once we figured out, what's what, and I just asked her what she was doing for New Year's 1 year, and she didn't have a clue, so I said, I'm going to get on a train and I want to come up there, and I never left.
And she was in Ontario. Gotcha. All right. So you went up and met her and decided I want to stay here. Okay, so then is that the time when you decided you're interested in framing houses? Or how did that
No,
begin? Or
about two.
what was next?
It was almost 2 years after that. Just because I was like, I thought it would be easy if I brought my old career with me, and then being close to Toronto, I should be able to find a job. And yeah, it just didn't pan out. Like it was a flooded market, and I was just like, okay, well, I can't get a job. So, and then family, at this point, like my wife had three boys of her own, and we had our own on the way. So I was like, wife, kids, house, like bills gotta get paid, people want to eat. So I just was like, yeah, whatever,
Okay.
and somebody asked if I could swing a hammer, and I was like, let's find out.
And so you're probably in your mid-20s at that point?
Yeah, I started framing just almost 24, 23 I
Okay.
was when I started.
All right. So still pretty young.
Yeah.
And how did that go for you? You just found out you had a knack for it, or were you on a crew, or
Yeah,
worked at a st
I was hired by the biggest production builder in our area. And no, I definitely didn't have a I didn't have a knack for it at all. I actually I don't know how many times he said he was going to fire me because I sucked. But the thing of it was, is at that time, I still hadn't let go of my old career. I kept thinking I was going to go back to it. So I really didn't. I hadn't let it go yet. And then, as we all know in the trades, if you don't pay attention to time flies. And then the next thing I know is I was like, there's no possible way I can go backwards now. This is actually putting food on the table. So I might as well just give up on it. It is what it is. I tried. It didn't go so well. So I started paying attention to the framing bit and seeing how far I could take it. And yeah, it was pretty evident after I started paying attention that this was going to pan out.
Nice. So you got pretty good at What's your specialty?
Just production framing, really.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's what I thought, but I figured I'd let you answer that versus me just blabbing out what I thought.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, right? I can do either. I can do custom or I can do production. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is you can take a good production guy into a custom and they can do the same exact house and finish it the same way as a custom framer. We just do it faster. You can't take a custom framer and put them in a production atmosphere and expect them to make money or bang market together.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So that puts it in perspective for me a little bit as far as where your focus is. Cause I get it. Cause I'm a high end custom deck builder and I don't think I can find myself doing, even when I build a square, it's a really nice square. Yeah. So, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but I'll be honest, I can make more money building squares than I can building circles.
100%.
And I can do them twice as fast or maybe three times as fast, depending on like the monster I'm on now. So you've done custom homes, you've done spec homes, you've done, you know, you've been subcon. So at what point do you own your own? You own your own business, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you owned your own construction business?
Since 2004.
Okay. So 20 years, 21 years?
21 years.
Okay. And so you know the highs and the lows. So do you have a team of people that work with you at all, or are you pretty much?
No, I used to have a crew, and that didn't pan out so well because contractor I had been getting some work for decided to go behind my back and offer them all a $5 an hour raise. And of course, that's all they heard was, oh, we all get $5 an hour, so everybody jumped ship. And he kept them all for 3 months and then fired them all because they were missing the key piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, the key equation. JC.
Yeah.
Joe Canning.
So that didn't pan out well for
them.
So
did any of those guys come back to you and say, hey, man, I'm looking for work. I'm kind of slow.
They all came back and asked for their jobs back, yeah.
And what'd you tell them?
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah. Sorry for your luck, man.
Yeah.
Because I admire the fact. So is it just you only that's out framing, or do you have like one guy that helps you or anybody? Or is it
my partner, Ryan.
You have a partner in the business? Okay.
Ryan used to be my first apprentice ever, actually.
Cool.
So he's been off and on with me for just about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's been around a while.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like just the two.
He knows what I'm going to say most of the time before I say it. So
that's awesome. When you can work with somebody and you don't even have to talk and you get stuff done,
mm-hmm.
that's some of the best relationships. You know, you just got the radio going or whatever and you're just bopping with the music and you look over and, oh, yep, he's doing that. I'm over here doing this. And you guys come together in the middle and it's just perfect.
Yep.
Comes out. That's really a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
That works. So is it considered, what's the name of your business?
I don't tell anybody, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Just there's too many people that are too busybodied, nosies, trying to figure out stuff from the social media world that I don't mm-hmm. share it.
Okay. But
I've had some awkward situations happen on social media, like people trying to figure out where I'm at, what my company name is, to make so that way they can look up to make sure I have all my stuff done legit. And I've had people trying to figure out, and that's why I don't show finished houses anymore either, because I've had people constantly up my ass going, oh, if you're getting X amount of square foot and I see you're finishing a house every 2 weeks, at the end of the year you're making, and I'm like, why do you care?
Because people are not happy with their own lives, and it's like they have to inject into others. And, you know, Joe, I don't divulge pricing ever online.
No.
Never.
Nobody, it's not anybody's business.
If people knew how much I charge for my work, they'd probably drop their drawers right there, then and there. Because it's not cheap, man.
No.
It's not cheap at all. So are you a full-fledged, do you build houses, like start to finish, or do you frame houses?
I just frame them.
Just frame.
Nobody wants to do this.
Are you a subcontractor to contractors, or do you like go buy a plot of land and frame a house and then?
No, I'm a subcontractor to the builder.
Okay. And you have plenty, they love your work. So I couldn't see how they could complain.
Had a complaint yet. So.
Do you work, under certain contractors only that you just trust and that, you know, that pay you and that you don't have problems with?
Every once in a while, I'll actually work under a contractor, and I only work for certain contractors.
Those certain contractors that you work for, do you always sign a contract for every house that you frame?
No.
No. There's an element of trust in there that you guys are comfortable with.
Pretty much.
That's pretty cool, because I don't think Kiki would be on board with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually really not good business.
No,
and it leaves quite the window open there for you. But yeah, for sure, I do. I have some that I work with that are straight handshake. Builders, on the other hand, I will get anything legal, PO, whatever the case may
something.
Be. Yeah,
napkin,
anything.
Yeah,
sign your name.
Yeah, put some blood right here. Drop.
Yeah.
No, I get it. That, you know, in today's age and time, you know, anybody, anything can happen. It's always good to cover your butt. I love the fact that you have relationships that are on a handshake agreement, because I've always been big on handshakes, man. I've always been big on handshake. I just made one last week, and my wife's like, "What are you doing?" I go, "Hey, this guy shook my hand and said, 'You will be paid.'" And I believed him, you know, but when it gets into the higher dollar amounts, it's always good to have at least an invoice that you printed out and handed off to the client and said, "Here you go. This is what you're looking at." You know, if not an additional contract stating how you're building this thing with their signature on it. But to everybody runs their business differently, man. And I'm of the old school, like you.
Yeah.
Really?
Judging from the things I've had from the past that when I started my business, it's actually really not a good idea. And I'm actually kind of a lunatic for actually continuing on down the handshake path. But, I got my first two houses that I owned my company, I got ripped off for and never actually got paid for. So being in that situation, you would think that would have taught me a huge lesson.
I'm kind of scratching my head without scratching it right now but you know your business better than anybody else. You know the people that you're dealing with.
I do now.
You do now. Yeah, you do.
There's been a few, you know, since that point that have been like, "Okay, maybe I should have got something signed. This isn't good. This isn't going the way it's supposed to be." They're 120 days past their pay period. I've had a couple like that, and then I'm like, "All right, well,
I
have attacked a house with a chainsaw once. I have had a chain hooked to my truck,
ready to go,
hooked to the post that's in the basement to pull the post out of the beam from under the beam. Yeah,
wow.
I've had to do some pretty stuff to get my money. So
well. That's admirable. I mean, because, you know, the landowner is going to call the police.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Hey, man, I got to feed my family, dude." Like,
when it comes down to the family, it doesn't matter.
Right? I've met your wife. I understand. Yeah. You know, it's a thing, man. So you have how many kids you got?
Four.
All right. So because you said you inherited three and then you had one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So you're well into your business. And as we get older and wiser and our bodies start breaking down a little bit, how are you doing? I know you had a health thing going on a year or two ago.
Yeah. It's still going on.
Still going on?
Unfortunately.
You want to save that for the bonus section or not talk about it?
It doesn't matter to me, really.
Okay. We'll save it. I want to talk about that in our Patreon section, because we'll keep that a little more private.
Okay.
Because I know you kind of did. You kind of kept it real. You're the kind of guy that, from what I can tell, and from meeting you a few times and chatting, you kind of hold your cards close to your chest and you don't really share a whole lot what's going on. Because I was trying to find out, like, what's going on with Joe, man? Like, is he okay? What, you know, I don't, and I couldn't really find anything out because I just feel like you guys were keeping it pretty tight-lipped. And that's cool. I respect that. I wasn't going to, like, keep bugging people to find out, you know? I just hope you're all right.
Yeah, there wasn't very many people that actually knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. I put up a stupid post without going into too much detail, basically saying, like, you know, I just got out of the hospital.
Right.
And I kind of just kind of left it there like that, which actually made it 10 times worse because that brought all the questions out when I should have just...
Oh, I bet.
I should have just, if I was going to go to that extent, I should have just like threw something in the caption.
Sure.
But yeah, it is what it is.
Too late now, right?
Yeah. Can't take it back now.
So when did you start your social media journey? When did that start for you?
Oh, I started a long time ago, but it actually sat there for a while because I didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I got on Instagram at first just to see what it was all about, and then my account got hacked. And then after my account got hacked back then, I was just like, oh, I don't know what to do because I used my real name for my name. So I was just mm-hmm. like, oh, well, this is unfortunate. And then I was like, what do I do? So I started looking around Instagram and everything like that. And then I started to come up with this game plan of what I thought was a good game plan. Even at that point when I started social media, I had already realized that we as a trade were dying. So I was like, this is the best case scenario here. Like, this is actually a kids app that adults are starting to take over. Yeah. But if I want to talk to kids and actually show them it's okay to be in the trades and they don't have to be doctors and lawyers or whatever the case may be, this will be the place to do it on their own app. So that's when I made Canadian Carpenter. It was all supposed to be about. It was only supposed to be about, you know, what we do, and it's okay to do this, that you can have a great career doing this. And yeah, it just spiraled. So spiraled after that.
when you started, if you're like me, you started like around 2011, 2012 or something like that. Yeah, or a lot of guys did.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, and it was only photographs at the time. We were only allowed to share photographs, you know? Yeah. And for me, that was cool.
It was a lot easier then.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I didn't know anything about hashtags, or I didn't know how to use the software as a business. I just wanted to share my photographs as a portfolio of what I was doing. And then when I started using a drone, that's when things got really interesting for me. But and then they started allowing like 30-second clips or something like that, video. And I didn't realize. I should have been watching RR Buildings and Toolaholic. I mean, I followed those guys, but I should have been emulating them.
Yeah.
Because they were on trend.
It's pretty funny, both of those guys, because it was Kiefer, me, Tool Pig, and mm-hmm. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Who all started the tool thing.
Yeah.
It was the four of us, and we were all spending our own money to get tools, to review the tools.
Right.
So when all that started, it was so crazy too, because like nobody liked each other. And then there was this divide of mm-hmm. our whose side are you on and everything. It was so crazy.
Competition.
It was insane.
And then Kiefer, man, he's like, I've had enough of this crap.
Yeah, he bailed.
He kind of bailed out.
But even Kyle, when Kyle first came, because he's in the chat group, we have a framing chat group. Uh-huh. And when he first came online, I remember him in the chat group one day going, I don't know if I'm going to make it in this. He's like, I don't think my content's any good. And we're all laughing at him.
Oh, look at him now.
Yeah, we're all laughing at him back then going, don't worry about it, buddy. We think you'll be all right. You know, like, don't worry.
He's killing it, man.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, awesome. He agreed to be on the podcast as well. But, you know, I had to have the best looking guys on first, man.
I'm mine.
Hey, man, it's a thing. And the whole idea is, it's cool to have you on and just to hear. I just love the backstory. I love to hear your backstory. And I think a lot of people find it interesting. And just, you know, this whole social media thing, I mean, really, that's why I know you. It's not because, well, and because of some shows. And that's what's really cool is when we start attending some of these shows, and I was going because I was contracted with different companies to represent their brands. So sometimes I'm at a show and I'm like at 2 hours at each booth, and that I don't have time to play or look or test or anything. I'm just back and forth, bing, bing, like a pinball, you know?
Yeah.
But I think one of the coolest parts is like when I run into somebody like you that I recognize from the internet, and like we're at the Omni or you know, are you going to JLC Live next week?
Yep, I'll be there.
All right. Me too. So I'll see you again before this gets live. And but it's just cool to stop for 10 minutes and just chat and how you doing, how you been, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's where life gets more interesting is you develop these relationships with people that you may not have normally. And, you know, for me, social media is 99% positive and 1% negative.
Well, yeah. I'd say mine is a little different. There was a lot of learning lessons back when I first started that, you know, things I wasn't aware of, legality wise and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I seriously doubt everybody that's on here that's putting videos out knows the legalities of posting videos with other people in them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it can get real in a hurry, especially when you get a lawyer sending you an email or sending you a written letter to your house saying, you know, cease and desist, remove this content due to blah, 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 blah.
You know, I'm getting a lot of that from Sony right now because I do a lot of time lapses, and they're better when there's music to them. But
isn't it funny that how that works, that you can add music, but it's as long as it's from the Meta playlist, but then you still get copyright infringements
that's what's happening to me.
That's why I stopped putting music on everything.
Well, I said I'm still doing it. Like, you know what? I can test and it takes a while, dude. But I can test every single one, and sometimes I win and sometimes I lose. I say, hey, I picked this out of the Instagram library. How it's less than a minute and a half long. Whatever, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I think that's going to become probably more of a hot button issue as time goes on. But we'll see. Yeah. You know, I'll be a glutton for now and see what happens to it, you know.
Could be crash good, test dummies.
Pretty much. But, I mean, we all have our style of how we project our digital media, right?
100%.
You know, and one thing I loved about you and what I've seen is how you answer. See, I answer questions on the weekend, but I don't answer in video format. I answer with a text. And
I had to start doing that, actually.
You did? Okay. But I always loved when you would reply in video format, your answers, which I think is brilliant. And it was really fun to watch. You answer questions, and you know, you kind of have to be on point when you're doing that, because, or how many takes are you making before you actually put one out, right?
Well, that's my thing. It's the way I always see it is this: I am offline who you get online.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's very one takey. Like if I mess up or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. That's what you get. And especially nowadays, because I used to hide the fact that I have ADHD, then I just said, screw it. It doesn't
Good
really make
you.
A difference. So for like the last year and a half, I think it's been pretty out and open. And and the reason why is because once I started wearing the head cam, getting the first person view,
yes,
I talk a lot because of my ADHD. It doesn't matter what I'm saying, but for some reason, when I'm yapping, I can control my brain.
Okay.
I don't know why. So I'll be saying stupid stuff over here, but at the same time, while I'm doing that, it's because I think what it is I'm not allowing any other like distraction to me that I'm able to concentrate. So a lot of the videos, I was like, I either have a choice here. I either mute the whole entire video because I'm yapping, or I just throw it out there and, you know, it is what it is,
I
right?
think people like the realism of what you're doing, the authenticness, the grit.
I would hope so, because, you know, in an area where everything's fake, yeah. you would hope some of the real shine through, right?
So. Absolutely. I feel I'm the same way. I do a lot of end of day videos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're usually one take.
Yeah, it's just it is what it is.
Occasionally I screw up. I'm like, I got to start over. Or I used to have a minute and a half target with reels, but reels went to 3 minutes. So now it's like, yeah. Oh, this is really easy now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because in that transition point that I was referring to before, I just decided to throw it out there that this is what I have and everything like that. And I was trying to do voiceovers to shut myself up. So I would mute the video and I would just do a voiceover over it, so I could sit down in a room like this, mm-hmm. be perfectly calm. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to see in here. Well, mm-hmm. there is, but nothing that should scream squirrel. And mm-hmm. and I would do the voiceovers, and the voiceovers would take me 3 to 4 times, maybe 5 times, or because my thing was, is I would always get like, well, besides that right there, I would sit there and go, for a minute, and then it would snap back of what I was trying to say. And then I'm like, this is actually more work than I actually want to do.
Right.
Right. Cause right. now we're getting into this production part of, editing audio. So now right. I'm editing video and editing audio. So I might as well, you know, like, what am I doing here? Like, this is defeating the purpose of being raw and me. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I finally just said, whatever. So I haven't been able to find a good bleep button for my swearing, but
okay.
That's the only thing I'm
thanks for
mute
keeping
now,
it
so.
Clean too. It makes Calvin's job easier too, because we're running a clean channel as much as we can. We got 5-year-olds that like to watch Dr. Dex, so
all right.
we're how it is. So oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So man, this is really good information. Really glad to hear. I kind of feel like we're kind of in the same. We're not in the same genre of building, but we're both in construction. We're both kind of have construction pages. We're both kind of sharing information as we go. You finally got a pair of AI glasses as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I got my first pair a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and I started messing with them.
Yeah.
And then I kind of gave up on them because I was like, I'll never wear these to work or whatever. And there's no point in having, you know, these expensive glasses if I'm not going to wear them. And then all of a sudden I finally broke my other glasses.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to try these because I need new glasses. I need new prescriptions. So I had to go down the whole anyway.
Sure.
So I was like, I might as well do it. And I did it. And with the understanding, if I didn't like them, I'd be able to return them within 30 days. And then I was in love with how easy it was to take first person videos. There's pros and cons to them, obviously. Like battery life, the longevity of the videos isn't the best.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know 3 minutes is not enough time sometimes, but it kind of keeps you on your toes on what you're shooting, you know?
It definitely does. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I kind of looked at it before I took the dive, because I was like, all right, well, it's not a 30-minute video. It's a bunch of 3-minute videos. But at the same time, you're going to, instead of you wasting a lot of time on video, mm-hmm. you'll be able to start and stop it, you know, when you're picking up without having to like take the camera off your head, mess with it or any of that. It's just a simple click or even telling it to start and stop.
Yeah,
which I found was a good thing, because when I was like clipping them, I could just.
Sorry, train.
You at my house or what?
Yeah.
But so that's funny. So it was always easier for me to edit and chop the video, because I would always say like meta start or stop, right? But it actually got to a point that we started joking around about it so much that I actually had to turn it off, because Ryan and me would be goofing around, joking around back and forth, and he would start yelling like meta start or meta stop or meta play music, right? And so unfortunately, as much as it's only supposed to pick up your voice, sometimes it would work.
Oh, no kidding. That's hilarious. Yeah, man. I think the meta glasses are pretty cool. I did the same. I invested and I went with prescription, and I ordered them straight from Ray-Ban because none of the dealers locally were doing it yet, because it was kind of, I was an earlier adopter, maybe not the earliest, but earlier adopter of that technology. I was hoping they'd shoot time lapses though, man, because that's my jam, you know?
Yeah.
Like a first person time lapse.
A first person time lapse would be
too jittery.
Too jittery. Like, I've already had people comment on some of the videos where they were like, I got nauseous watching that video. And I'm like, yeah, I apologize. Cause if I'm like really in the zone and I'm really working fast, I'm not really paying attention to how fast my head's moving.
Right.
You know, I'm not thinking video quality. I'm thinking about I'm working. Yeah. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, I'm like, yeah, I get it. My bad. I'll try to remember to not like spin my head like a top. but yeah, like when I did do the final purchase and I bought them and everything like that, and I fell in love with them. And because I'm a bull in a China shop, I made sure I bought every warranty I could get. They also had a deal where it was like, oh, if you buy another pair within 30 days, you get them 50% off.
Oh,
so I was like, well, that's a no brainer. So now I have clear ones and transition ones. I'm like,
oh,
perfect.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So
nice.
And then I ended up putting my first pair through warranty because I smashed them. it was unfortunate, but at the same time, it was like, I'm glad I had them on.
Right.
Because I had a full sheet of zip system with the polyiso on the back, so zip R. I had a full sheet fall 14 feet and catch me right in the corner of my eye. And it exploded the glasses everywhere. But if they hadn't been there to take that impact and take the hit, then it would have been my orbit of my eye. And nobody wants to do that.
No.
It doesn't
nobody.
Rank high on my things to do list, right?
So. Right. Well, because I remember before I knocked my camera over, I watched this video and it looked like it was first person view. I don't know if it's probably before you had your meta glasses. You're way up. You're way up on this roof. You're like 30 plus feet. And a lot of people think 30 feet's not that high, but man, when you're on the perspective of a 30 foot high wall and then you're 6 feet above that, you're closer to 40 feet. And in my opinion, you can't be afraid of heights when you're doing stuff like that. A lot of people are, but even if you're solid in your ability, you're still way up in the air, you know?
Yeah.
And
you have
I was
to respect
watching,
what you're doing.
Yes, sir. 100%. And talk about respect. I was like, I really respect Joe right now because he's out winging on a 2 foot eave on top of a 40 foot wall. And I just shook my head. I'm like, I think I'm to the age where like that, those kind of days for me are almost over, you know, like, I don't know if I can keep doing that kind of stuff. I said that to myself a couple summers ago when I was on that bay, and you made a comment, you said, that's me every day. And it made me stop and think that, you know what? I get you. And
think about this. If I'm up there now and I'm taking those risks and doing those things now, imagine what I was like before I started losing my nerve.
Dude. Yeah, man. Your late 20s, early 30s.
Just
you were
running.
Superman. Yeah, that's just crazy insane, man.
Yeah, I actually have a picture somewhere of I was sitting out on the end of the fascia board on the hip. And that it was on a multifamily old age home. And I was probably about 45, 50 feet up. I'm just kind of sitting there with my legs hanging over the face.
If you had a drone, you would have had the shot, man.
Yeah, exactly. Back then. Come on.
Oh, dude. I couldn't even imagine. That's just too high for me. I mean, I'll jump off a bridge into water at that height.
Yeah.
But
I
don't know if I'd walk a rake
good
wall.
Airplane, so.
Yeah, I've done that once. I've been skydiving before, but yeah, definitely. Cool. Okay, so you're well into your framing career. You're on social media. You're starting to get an audience. You're trying to keep some of your stuff private because you don't want the ramifications or the people, and I totally understand that too. You don't want people knowing where you live and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've already had enough problems with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So do you want to elaborate on that at all? Or?
Well, I've had my house broken into a couple times. Had my garage raided. Stolen tools. Had people pull up in my out in the middle of the street in front of my house and yell to me in the garage. You know, things like that. It's not cool.
Well, like, that's the one thing. If you're going to steal my livelihood, just come tell me and I'll just give you money instead.
Yeah, it'll be a lot easier.
Don't take my tools, man. Yeah. Don't take away my ability to generate an income for me and my family.
Well, that's 100% a thing. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people, and nobody would understand that except for our world, right?
Right.
Most people, it's just tools, right? But at the same time,
it's personal, man.
Well, especially when it happens at your house.
Dude, that's
game on time.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's right to bear arms is why you don't, you know, that's messed up. I don't go for that.
No,
you know?
it's like I said, it's had its ups and downs. I do like doing it, and that's the only reason why I stayed, because any normal person after that happened and everything would be like, this is just enough.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time now, you know, I'm a little bit more guarded with things and you know what? I give people enough and they don't need to know my whole entire life, even though I grasp the concept that people like to feel like they actually know the person that they're watching every single day. Mm-hmm. You still don't get to get that far in it. That's the thing about social media. You have to understand what your point is at where you stop. Like, there are people I know that, you know, their whole family gets involved. That's great.
Right.
You know, that works well for you. I'm not interested in throwing this all out there. So
nothing wrong with that. You're entitled to your privacy. You know, you share what you feel like, you know, your audience will enjoy, but you don't have to get into all the subtleties of it. You know, I'm kind of the same way. I think I've probably shared more than I should. But my wife,
I've shared more than I should already in here. So,
all right. Well, I'm grateful for that though. It makes for a much better episode since it's all about you. I know I talk a lot in these episodes, but it's really just to bring out anything and everything that I can with you, man, because the people I have on this show, I have a connection with, and I want to make sure that you're authentic, man. So I just want to make sure that authenticity comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know how I am, and it wouldn't go well if you tried to steer it another way.
No, dude. No. And as a matter of fact, like I said, I told you this episode's about you, and I want to make sure that you're able to talk about whatever you want to talk about, say anything you want to say. I don't really get into politics or religion, but besides that, you know, if you want to give yourself a plug or somebody else, or you got a sponsor you want to talk about, you can do that. Or, you know, and when a couple things that it cracks me up when I see a lot of the questions you get a lot of tool bag questions, man. Like,
well,
what's up with that?
Well, I mean, besides owning probably, I don't know, I got to be like 42 sets of bags right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you collect them?
I for a while and yeah. So I'll tell you why I do it. And nobody else knows this. So the reason why I started it is because if you followed me for any point of time, you know I've had my hands or my brain or my mouth talking in the ears of every major manufacturer of tool belts.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some bags that were sent to me, and then I have some bags that were prototypes that we had designed together and things like that. And there's a lot of them like the first Badger belt that was ever made. Mm-hmm. I have that. There's reasons why I have that. And that was simply because, I knew Joel from Diamondback when him and his wife owned Diamondback, and I am the one that sat there one night at like 11:30 at night and talked to Joel, and we came up with the name of Badger and the whole nine yards and how the bag should look and everything like that. So I kind of helped design the first set of Badgers and cool. Where it went from that point. like Joel had a little notebook, I remember, and he had it sketched out, and he was just, back then technology kind of was a little bit harder, so the video, like, images weren't as great and everything. But so we just went back and forth one night, and there was many reasons why the name Badger was picked, but I'm not going to get in that for legal reasons. I worked with Diamondback before, and we came up with the Chopo, Damani and I, which ended up being like,
I love Damani, man. He's a great guy.
I love that dude.
I have a spiritual connection with him. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. You know, he's That's a really crazy. Great man. And, I have nothing good to say about those guys and their tool belts. You know, I used to wear a tool belt, but once Blocklotter came out with all these cool pockets and stuff in their pants, I find myself not really needing a full tool belt very often.
For you, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it doesn't.
No, especially when you're up 40 feet in the roof and you forgot your cat's paw.
every pant that I had of theirs, and they kept trying to force that on me. You had to try the ones with the pockets, and I did one day, and I was like, I can't do it. I would be lying if I said this is the way to go.
To each their own,
right?
Right. Exactly. It's different trade, different set of scenarios, man.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you think about it. Even though over in Europe, they do the same job that we do. They do it with those styles. There is, because of social media, there is this thing now where other areas that haven't worked like this are now wearing tool belts,
right?
You know, but that whole European market, there's a lot of them that wear those pants, and they do the same job, but it's just they work in a different way,
right?
Like, right. For us, it's like, you know, we want to get on the job, and we want to get it done, and we want it done and properly, and we don't want to be paying people to be running back and forth to the vehicle or whatever the case may be, or
Oh, I get that. I get that. So, yeah, that can cost you, man.
100%. But they have a different mentality of it, where we're just like, we're like monsters and just going at it, and they're just like, yeah, we'll get to it.
Don't you have a Canadian carpenter version of a tool belt?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, is that with Badger?
I have one with Badger, yeah.
Is that something you want to talk about? Or?
I don't really get into it too much anymore. Everybody that knows what it is. It's the only tool belt you can buy where the Badger logo actually has a beard, because we call it the Bearded Badger.
Ah, that's cool, man.
So...
Do you get a small cut of that, or
no? It's just Joel and I are good friends, and you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. It was never about that,
right? So. Yeah, no, I get it. Friends are friends, and that's cool that you helped him design and develop. And it's pretty cool that they have that limited logo on certain bags, though. I might have to take a look at that. Are those still available?
Actually, the funny part is. Because they just moved Badger from Indiana or out to California with Occidental Leather now.
So I
just had him make me the last custom bag that ever came out of there. Since I already have the first one that ever came out of there, now I have the last one.
Oh,
and
they had to go
digging, and they could only find two of the Bearded Badger tags left. So they got put on my bag. So
nice. Is that one you're going to use, or are you going to save that one?
I was using it right before we stopped working, and I'm probably just going to keep that one around.
Sure.
Just because of the belt that I use now has worked so well for me, even though I'd never expected it to. I'm going to stick with Acrobus for that.
That's so cool. That's really cool. So super knowledgeable. You're super knowledgeable in tool belts. And then you are you still like tool reviewing, or is there a certain brand that you're into, or that you prefer?
I am sponsored by Makita.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
There's no secret, but no, my thing of it is like I said, I would never meant for this to be a tool page. Well, right. I guess I kind of did at first because I didn't know where it was going. I never knew the end game from social media, like where it could lead. when I started. So yes, as much as I say I didn't want it to be a tool thing, obviously I did because I was one of the first four that started it. But that being said, I don't like the way it has gone. I'm not a big fan of saying, here's this tool, you should go buy this tool. I do not do that, and it actually causes a lot of friction with me and some tool brands because I'm not that guy. So my thing of it is, and this is the way I'm going to keep it, the tools are there. If somebody asks the question, then I'm going to say something about it. I will answer your question, but I'm not going to be like, oh, look at this thing. And then the next day I'm going to be, look at this thing. Like, yeah, it is what it is. Like, I can't get away from the tools because of what we do. They're always going to be front and center because I'm working. But I'm not going to be like, you should go buy this tool. This is the most awesome tool I've ever seen. Or, same with hammers. Like, I have 50 something hammers.
Yeah, that
That's
was gonna be my
a
next
collection.
question.
That's
That
a
was good.
collection.
Now, I know you, I mean, let's talk about that. That I think that'll be our final chat on this particular episode, before we get into the Patreon. One of our most popular YouTube videos is a hammer review. And we reviewed some really high-end hammers, and then we reviewed a couple, stinkers, that are elbow crushers, that forearm killers, whatever you want to call them. Now, okay, in my career, Joe, I've never owned a waffle hammer in my life because I won't allow them on my job sites because I didn't like the way they made your treated framing look when you smashed a nail in with a waffle head.
Well, I mean, for you, it makes total sense because you're going from a frame to a finished product,
That's
right?
right.
So,
That's right.
if you did have that on you, it wouldn't make sense because you would like, what am I going to do? Use this hammer while we're doing the framing, and then as soon as we start decking and capping, we're going to switch up. Like, it doesn't make
It
logical
doesn't make
sense,
sense.
right?
So DeWalt sent me a waffle hammer once, and I belt sanded it smooth.
Yeah, see?
So, but I never got into these high-end hammers. I had a couple earlier in my career, some wooden-handled ones, but I broke those. So, but now I have a Mark Martinez sent me one of his hammers once, complimentary, and then Stiletto gave me a hammer as well. And then this new company, Boss Tools, I have a couple of their titanium hammers. And you start swinging a hammer a lot, and it's no joke, man. You really can tell a difference
Oh, 100%.
in the hammers. But I gotta be honest. I think my all-time favorite is my Stiletto.
I'm not going to say you're crazy for it. No, my all-time favorite. Let's see. My thing is I'm a naturalist. It doesn't matter what I touch. I know at some point I'm going to go back to wood handle hammer. I know it. Like, this is how it all started. This is how this hammer collection started, right? I had different brands and everything sending me hammers and everything, and I was like, all right, I'll let me try that out for a bit. And next thing I know, I was like going back to my wood handle, right? And it is a thing, but being able to do that over that vast collection of so many hammers, I can wholeheartedly say I can see where trends are going. I can see where, certain weights are going, where this is getting phased out for this material now. Are we still getting pure titanium for the heads, or are we getting a mix? I can tell that. It's been such a crazy little thing that now, like, when I open up a hammer, the first thing I do is I examine it and I'm like, let's see if they're full of shit first. Yeah, so it's like can they look at this hammer and feel good about the purchase, and having the purchase match what they're saying it can do, or or the way it's built, or whatever the case may be. So I always have a little peek, and I walk around it real quick, and I'm like, all right, I see something, but we'll just shut up about it and see how that, I'll mental note it, and then see how that works out in the long run. And I've had pure titanium hammers rust. So it's like, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'll take some stuff and I'll wipe it down just in case if I'm getting any kind of like fragments of nails or whatever the case may be from smashing on steel, if I'm getting any residual. And yeah, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're like, hey, here, lion.
Do you have a favorite brand or a favorite one, like couple different hammers that you really dig?
For me, I'd say definitely Stiletto 14-ounce hickory handle is my all-time favorite.
Dude, I had one of those walk off my job site.
Yeah, I actually went to a point where it was like, I liked that hammer so much, I actually went back and found somebody who had brand new old stock of when Stiletto first switched to that. So when Mark Martinez bought it, mm-hmm. and he took over Stiletto, and his actual hammer that he had beforehand was called the Ruger. Mm-hmm. And then when he bought Stiletto and he took on that name and he started developing under that, it came out Stiletto Ruger. So I actually have a couple of those. I actually went back and bought some new old stock that's never touched the nail of those hammers. I still swing one also. I actually bought an extra head so I can actually swing it. So
right on.
Yeah, that is my favorite as far as the one I keep running back to. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't tried a new Kinetic Custom one that's sitting at my house right now. I'm really excited to try that, but
stay tuned.
Yeah. It's just like, if I was going to say without bias what the best metal hammer was, I would say it's the M1. Mark did a phenomenal job on that, but me and Mark have history, so I don't swing it.
Sure. Well, hey, so. You know, I've got the M4, but I understand what you just said, your last statement. The man is, he's a great guy, but sometimes it's just hard to see eye to eye with him.
There is no eye to eye with us anymore. It's pretty obvious.
Fair enough.
No, there's no love lost.
Fair enough, man. we can leave it there. We'll leave it at that. And as a matter of fact, our time is up for our episode. Joe, thank you so very much for being on this podcast. I'm very grateful for you. And we're going to stick around for our Patreon section next. So if you guys are interested, don't forget to go to Patreon and sign up and get some bonus features that you're not going to get on the standard podcast. So Joe from Ontario, Canada, canning, Canadian carpenter. Do you have a YouTube channel?
It's the same thing. I'm just starting.
Yeah, so if you go to Instagram, guys, it's at Canadian Carpenter, and the YouTube is Canadian Carpenter as well.
Yeah.
And do you do Facebook or?
Yeah, it's all the same. Facebook,
okay, it's all
TikTok,
the same.
And it's all the same.
Okay, yeah, my Facebook got hacked, so we're trying to figure that one out.
But, yeah, I don't doubt it. It's happening more than it's
nightmare
not right now.
But. Joe, very interesting. Thanks for your backstory, man. That was just great. And we're going to stick around and get into this Patreon next, guys. Calvin, hit that music.